Well, good morning, friends. It's good to be here. And I'd like to thank all my fellow deacons for participating today, and for Ronnie, who does a great job in pulling things together, and for leading this morning. So thank you, and even for asking me to speak. I need your prayers. Thank you. Our Bible reading this morning, and David's already referred to it, actually, and that was quite coincidental, so thank you, is from Psalm 150. Psalm 150, and as we know, the Psalms are indeed poems and prayers, but they were actually written to be sung. In fact, we did just that earlier when we sang with the children, "Praise Him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp," because that, in fact, comes from verses 3 to 6 of Psalm 50. We sang, "Praise Him on the timbrel and the dance, let everything that has breath praise the Lord." But today I think we need some more participation. I like participation because it makes me feel less nervous up here. So I'm looking for your help. So my plan is I will read through Psalm 150 as best I can, and then we'll read it again. It's only a few verses, and as we do it together, let's try and read it together in unison. So Psalm 150 reads like this: "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with the timbrel and dancing, praise him with the strings and flute, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." And let's say it again all together, please. "Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and lyre, praise him with the timbrel and dancing, praise him with the strings and flute, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Excellent. Thank you for your help. Let's just take time to pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have open access to it and freedom to read it. And help us never to forget and take this for granted. Your word is living. It's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. As we think on the verses that we have just read together this morning, we do indeed praise you for your great acts of power and your surpassing excellent greatness. Yes, you are the great creator and sustainer of all things. All things were made by you, and without you, nothing was made. Yes, we acknowledge that the world and everything in it is yours. You're the giver of breath. You're the giver of life. You're the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And this morning we worship you in all your glory. We exalt and we magnify your great name today. Help us to each focus on you today, Father, to forget about ourselves for this time and concentrate in you as we worship you in your word now. Help me, Father, give me wisdom to speak with clarity and accuracy, in boldness and yet in humility. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, you've guessed already that our subject, or my subject this morning is, anybody know? Praise. Thank you. Thank you for your help. It's praise. And we want to focus on Psalm 150. But you know, praise is a vast subject that runs through the Psalms, and in fact runs through the whole of the Bible. In fact, the word praise is written in the Bible over 340 times. So I think it's a very important thing. But let's just, before we look at Psalm 50, let's just consider and ask the question, what is praise? What is praise that we read about in the Bible? Some words that we often use in parallel when we sing hymns and songs and read from the Bible are bless. We've talked about that this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We use the word sometimes exalt. It's another word. We sung as our first hymn, Jesus is King, and I will extol him. That's a great word, extol. And that's one of my favourite hymns. In fact, it was my father-in-law's favourite hymn too. And that word extol means something to the both of us. Another word is glorify. That's a great word. We sing, glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify your name in all the earth. We've used this morning magnify. It's a lovely word. But other words in parallel to praise are thank, just to thank God. And another one, and if you take time to study it, is confess in praise. It's a great way to praise God. But yes, to praise God, I would say, is to call attention to his glory. To call attention to his glory. And Christian praise is the joyful thanking and adoring of God, the celebration of his goodness and grace. Let's say that again. Joyful thanking and adoring of God, the celebration of his goodness and grace. And this simply implies that the act of praising is rightfully due to God alone. Only God. It's due to him alone. Dr. Billy Graham once said, it's an interesting one, I believe that the greatest form of prayer is praise to God. I believe that the greatest form of prayer is praise to God. That's one worth thinking about. John Piper, a great theologian, author, and pastor, says this, and it took me a while to get this through my head. I'm not that intelligent, so it takes me time, you know. The climax of God's happiness is the delight he takes in the echoes of his excellence and the praises of his people. Let me say that again. The climax of God's happiness is the delight he takes in the echoes of his excellence and the praises of his people. When we praise God, what we're saying here is it makes God exceedingly happy. And he takes pleasure from it. Isn't that wonderful? Our God, the mighty God, takes pleasure from it when we praise him. So that's one of the reasons why it's important to praise him. But anyway, coming back to the psalm, there are many things to say about Psalm 150. In fact, but it's only six verses. It's a very short psalm. And just a little point, it's the same number of verses in Psalm 150 as in the first psalm. Just a little point I found out. You've noticed that Psalm 150 is the very last psalm, the final psalm, and the conclusion of what some people call the Hallelujah praises. They begin from Psalm 146 and run to Psalm 150. And where each of these five psalms, separate psalms, are all psalms of praise, they all begin and finish with the same opening statement, which is praise the Lord. Psalm 150 is what some would call the doxology. That's a very old-fashioned word for me, but it's an expression of praise to God, which ends the last section of the psalm. And indeed, the whole book of the Psalms. We don't know who wrote this psalm. It's a great psalm, but we don't know who wrote it. A psalm that begins with and ends with, praise the Lord. But looking at the six verses that command us to praise the Lord is recorded 13 times. And as I've said already, that tells me something, that it's very important. And I believe it's telling us this morning that without doubt, that God's people should be caught up in praising him. And for us, as God's people, this should be one of our highest priorities. But the psalmist didn't leave it up to us to figure out the reasons. Neither did he use symbols or metaphors for us to interpret what was being said. Rather, I believe the three words, praise the Lord, should be understood just as they are. Praise the Lord. In this psalm, the psalmist is very helpful as he gives us five specific reasons to praise the Lord in relation to praise. We find in verses 1 the where of praise. Point 2, coming down further, the why of praise. Point 3, the how of praise. Point 4, the who of praise. And last, and certainly not least, the when of praise. And this morning my plan is just to go through these five reasons and consider them just briefly in the time that we have. So if you go to verse 1, we read, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. I think verse 1 is very clear about where God is when you praise him. He sits in his sanctuary. God is in his sanctuary. And if you don't know where that is today, it's in the mighty heavens. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Our Father, which art in heaven. When we praise God, friends, he's in that same place. And unfortunately, some people misunderstand and think they have to be in the sanctuary of their individual church building when they praise God. But please note that the first verse says, in his sanctuary, his. Yes, while we should praise God in our own sanctuary, that should not be the limit to where we praise God. But thinking more about sanctuary, God's sanctuary is wherever God is. God's sanctuary is wherever God is. God's sanctuary is not confined to a particular building. It's not limited to our church building. He's not there only when we leave or are there on Sundays and during the week and when we lock the door and leave. And in fact, in a sense, God stays there until we return. Thinking further on God's sanctuary, we find a number of examples in the Bible. In Hebrews 8, verses 1 to 2, we find that Jesus is in a sanctuary in the heavens. Jesus is in a sanctuary in the heavens. And the Message Bible in 8, verses 1 and 2 says this, in essence, we have just such a high priest, authoritative, right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. It's built by God. Jesus is in the sanctuary in the heavens. But more than that, Jesus makes his sanctuary among his people. In Corinthians 6, verse 16, we read, For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Jesus makes his sanctuary among his people. We also discover that Jesus makes his sanctuary in the individual believer. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? It's a great verse, that. Jesus makes his sanctuary in the individual believer. And friends, that's each one of us if we're truly born again. And finally, thinking about sanctuary, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 21, John writes, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And of course, what we're saying here is the temple here means sanctuary. Jesus himself will be the sanctuary of God among his people when he returns. But let's get back to Psalm 150 and now look at the second reason the psalmist gives us, the why of praise. In verse 2 we read, praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Verse 2 clearly tells us why we should praise God, and we are given two specific reasons why. Why? For his acts of power. Why? For his surpassing greatness. But let me tell you something, friends. Apart from his many powerful acts and his many mighty deeds, God is worthy of praise simply for who he is. God is worthy of praise simply for who he is. He is perfect. He is holy. He's lacking in nothing. Paul writes in 1 Timothy, he is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. And then further along in chapter 6, verse 16, we read, he is the blessed and one ruler, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. What a God we serve. We should continually praise God for the mighty things that he has done, not just for us, not at all just for us, but for all of his creation. We should look round and see the unimaginable things that our God, great God, has created and see all his mighty deeds. Then we should think about how truly great God is. How truly great God is. We've considered the where and the why of praise. Now let's look at number three, the how of praise. How should we praise him? Well, David's already told us this. In fact, I thought David was going to go on and preach this morning, and I wouldn't have needed to do this. But anyway, we read about it. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel or the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. The psalmist is using the orchestra here as an object lesson of praise. All the instruments are included, the brass, the string, the wind, the percussion, and even dancing. And I know that many traditions in Christian walks of life, people don't dance. But I was just, and it's not my tradition, but I was down at a Christian, I don't know if I'd call it a conference, but it was an event called the Fixed Conference down in Manchester. I took 18 people down from Broken Chains. And there was 700 people worshipping God there. And most of them were dancing as they praised God. Now, I know we don't do that here, but it talks about it in the Bible. And we've got it in this psalm. And it was lovely to see and see how they entered into their praise of God. You'll note that the first musical instrument mentioned is the trumpet. And it says these words in verse 3, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. According to the great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, the sound of the trumpet is associated with the greatest and most solemn events. Spurgeon, who preached for 38 years, said, and I quote, the solemn events included in the giving of the law, the proclamation of the Jubilee, the coronation of kings, and the onset of wars, it is no wonder the trumpet is also used in praising the Lord. Quite a statement. I believe listing the instruments one by one illustrates the psalmist's desire to be inclusive. He wanted to convey that people could use whatever instruments they wanted and were available to praise the Lord. There's no lead singer or special instrument to praise the Lord alone. All chimed in to make a joyful noise to the Lord, as we read about in Psalm 150. But now, on to the who of praise. The who of praise. In verse 6 we read, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Friends, don't think because you can't read, you can't play a musical instrument that you're exempt from praising God. There's something that we all have, and that's breath. That's our breath. We're alive. And while we're alive, we can praise the Lord. A reminder must be given here that just praising the Lord, just saying praise the Lord, is not necessarily praising the Lord. You're just repeating a command. Praising the Lord is telling God how good and great He is. It's honouring God with our lips or celebrating with musical instruments if they're available. Of course, this is important. We cannot embark on the true joy and benefits of praising God unless we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. We cannot embark on this true joy unless we've invited Jesus into our hearts. And I wonder today, friends, as we talk about praise, and I know there are many Christians here, but I wonder if there are others who haven't at this point invited Jesus into their life and have entered into the real true benefits of praising Him. As a child of God, He dwells in our bodies through the Holy Spirit. This means that wherever we go, God is to be praised. In Corinthians 6, verse 19, we read, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." We're not our own, friends. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. And finally, the when of praise. I'm watching this clock here. Am I doing okay, Ronnie? Yeah. Ronnie will tell me. Yeah. When should we praise Him? Well, we've learned that having breath is the only qualification for praising God. Then that means that everyone can do it. In other words, your breath, our breath, should be a constant reminder to each one of us to praise God. But I wonder how many of us could honestly say, praising God characterizes my life, our lives. Praising God characterizes our lives. Friends, the extent to which we cannot say that reflects the extent that we are not God-centered. Let me say that again. The extent to which we cannot say that reflects the extent that we are not God-centered. Friends, it's not about being praise-centered, but it's rather we have to be God-centered. A God-centered person will be a person of praise. And yes, as God's people, we should be focused on Him in every situation, and therefore we should all be a people of praise. I'm nearly finished. I hope you've enjoyed with me looking a little at Psalm 150 and have learned something about this great subject of praise and of praising God, and going through these five very simple reasons, the where, the why, the how, the who, and the when of praise. But let me today encourage you to think more on what we've heard today. To think more about how great our God is. To think more about how God-centered we are. Then as we leave this place, that we'll go out and apply this to our own lives. As we spend more time with Him. As we spend more time reading our Bible and meditating on it. I quite often find that I can read my Bible but not meditate on it because other things come crashing in. But if we can read the Word of God and meditate on it, and our prayer lives be more praying to God with ourselves and with individuals, and through that, I believe it will make us more God-centered and become a real people of praise.